Well, I found out something interesting the other day, doing a little bit of research on the internet. I found out the day that I'm going to die, and it is September 2nd, 2040. Wonder how I found that out? There's a website. There's a website called www.deathwatch.com. And you can go onto that website, and what you do is you enter in the day you were born, then you enter in whether you smoke or not, and then you enter in whether you are an optimistic person, a pessimistic person, or somewhat in between. And then you take your weight and your height and you figure out your body mass index, and you plug all that in, and out pops the projected date of your death based upon the actuarial tables. So mine was September 2nd, 2040. Now, if I get my body mass index down, it goes up to about 2042. So if you want to check that out, you can do that. www.deathwatch.com. You may want to do it. You may say, I don't want to even go there. Afterwards, I got to think, this is kind of a crazy thing to do, but it was kind of interesting. You know, our lives are slipping away, though. We know that all of us, sooner or later, are going to die, and death is going to come, and it probably will not be on the exact day projected by www.deathwatch.com. But as Christians, we know this. Christians, we know that the God who has been in our lives all through our lives is the same God who will be with us tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, all through our lives. He is the same God who will be there with us on the day that we die. He is the same God who will be with us through all eternity. Moses also knew that. And this psalm is really about Moses proclaiming how God has been our help in ages past. And if God has been our help in ages past, God will be our help today, and God will be our help tomorrow, and God will be our help the day that we fly away, the day that we leave this life. And he will be our God for all eternity. And he will be our God despite our iniquities, despite our failures, despite our sins. Listen again to verse 3. You return man to dust and say, return, O children of man. And then verses 7 to 10. For we are brought to an end by your anger, by your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days pass away under your wrath. We bring our years to an end like a sigh. He says there, we return to dust. We are made of dust, but eventually we will all return to dust. Some of us may have shorter lives, some may have longer lives, but the end is the same. We will return to dust. It is going to happen. We can't stop it. The Chicago Tribune had an article back in February 1995, about a woman named Jean Calment, and she lived in Arles, France. And she was, at that time, the oldest person in the world whose age could be verified. And she was 120 years old. And she was somewhat of a celebrity in France. In fact, France's Minister of Health came to see her on her 120th birthday. Three books have been written about her life. Medical scientists have tried to study her life to find out what was the secret of such a long life. When they interviewed her, this is what they found out. She ate 2 pounds of chocolate a week for years. She smoked moderately until the age of 117. She cooked with olive oil. She took vigorous walks and even rode her bike through the streets of Arles until she was 100. At age 110, she said with good humor, I had to wait 110 years to become famous, and I intend to enjoy it as long as possible. But by age 120, she was confined to a wheelchair. I see badly, she said. I hear badly. I can't feel anything, but everything's fine. And someone asked her what kind of future she expected, and still displaying her sense of good humor, she said, "A very short one." You know, she speaks for all of us. Even if we have 100 years to live, the body has its limits, and even a long life is short in the span of eternity, because we will return to dust. That is the result of sin. Every person lives an imperfect life. Every person has rebelled in thought and in word and in deed against God. We live not only in a broken, fallen world, but we have broken, fallen lives. And so we will return to dust. And we can't hide from God. God knows our iniquities. God knows our failures. God knows our flaws. God knows our sins, and He knows our shortcomings. And we can't hide them. We can't deny them. We try. We try to ignore them. We try to excuse them. We try to cover them up. But yet God knows all, and God sees all. But underneath the surface always is our sinful human nature. Underneath the surface always are there our guilts, our regrets, our sins, the consequences of our sin in our lives. Came across an interesting story about a lady named Zinaida Bregnetsova, Ukrainian lady. During World War II, she was sitting by her window sewing, and suddenly she heard a whistling noise. And then she was struck by a blast of wind. When she came to, her sewing machine was gone, and there was a hole right there in the floor in her bedroom. And she tried to tell some authorities that she thought there was a bomb that had come through her house, but no one believed her. So what do you do when you have a hole in the floor of your bedroom? Well, you move your bed over and you cover it up so you don't have to see the hole. And she lived like that for 43 years. So she had the hole in the floor covered over by the bed and went to sleep there every night for 43 years. And so later on, the phone company was going to be coming through, and they were going to put some cables in, but in that area, they're looking for explosives. So they come to her door and they kind of knock and tease her, saying, "So where's the bomb in your house, Grandma?" And she says, "I think it's under the bed in the bedroom, in the hole in the floor." That she was joking. Well, they check it out, and sure enough, there's a 500-pound bomb down below this hole in her bedroom. And so what the first thing they do is they evacuate the whole community. 2,000 people are evacuated. She gets an apartment out of the deal, and they get rid of the bomb. All the while it was there, covered up. You see, in our lives, so often we cover up our shame and our guilt and our sins. We cover them up. But God knows all along everything about our lives. He knows what's being covered up. He knows all of that. He knows our sins. He knows us. And it's all there. God sees it all. The guilt, the shame, the regret, the consequences, right there under the surface. Like the bomb, they just need to be removed. But we can't do it on ourselves. We're incapable, unable to do it. But God does it for us. Because we know that all of those things, the guilt, the shame, the sin, the consequences, all bring about into our life and into our world difficulties, struggles, problems. You ever have any of those? Any struggles in your life? Or does the life just coast right along for you? Any difficulties? Any challenges in your life? You know, we all have them. They're always there. They're always there. You know, sometimes people think they're going to reach a golden age Sometimes people who are younger think, you know, if only I have this in place, and if I have that in place, and if I do this, or if I do that, then all of a sudden, everything in my life is going to go along so smooth. It's going to be great. We won't be facing problems. I'll just really be able to coast right through life. You know when that time comes? Never does. There's always challenges, always difficulties, always struggles and toils and tribulations and trials in our life. They're always there. It comes about because we live in this fallen, broken, sinful world, a world that's returning back to dust. But in the midst of all of that, God invites us to find in Him our refuge. Listen to verses 1, 2, and 4 once again. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Verse 4, for 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. You know, the Psalms give some incredible images of God. God is like a strong rock. Where do you want to be when there's an earthquake? You don't want to be on the shifting sands. You want to be on a solid rock in your life. You want to stand on the rock of God's word, the rock of God's promises, and not on the shifting sands of the world. Or it's pictured as a fortress. And you think of a fortress, it's not like the little house at the, where the wolf pulled down where the pigs, you know, the little straw house. But a strong fortress. That's what God is like. A place of safety, a place of strength, a place of security. So he says, He is our dwelling place. This is where God is. We find our strength, our safety, our security through all of the struggles and toils and difficulties and challenges of life. We find them where? We find them in God. Putting our hope and our trust in Him and in His promises. And because He is God, He never changes, never dies. You know, we change. You look at your pictures recently from when you were a child, or maybe a wedding picture or picture from when you were a teen. See how you've changed? I looked in the mirror one time here 4 or 5 years ago, walking by the mirror. I thought, whatever happened? You know, things change. And we end up dying. God is not like that at all. God does not change. God does not die. He is an everlasting God. And that's something that we can count on. And so that means the promises that God has made, God is not going to go back on. What God has said He will do, He is not going to renege on that. We can always trust on God to be faithful because He does not change. His promises never fail. He will not die. He is timeless. You know, we are so bound by time, especially in our society, aren't we? We are very time conscious. And we know that we have so much to do and so little time. And we know that our life is limited by time. We don't know how long, despite what deathwatchmighttellus.com. We still know that we have only a certain amount of time. And how are we going to use that time? But God is outside of that. You see, it isn't that God... What it is that God is beyond time. God is outside of time. He is timeless. And that's a concept that's very difficult for us to understand, to grasp, or to comprehend. But 1,000 years in God's sight are like a day. That's reiterated also in 2 Peter. There was an economist one time who was talking with God and said, Lord, is it true that 1,000 years for us is like 1 minute to you? And God said, yes. Then $1 million to us must be like 1 penny to you, the economist said. And God said, well, yes, that's true too. Will you give me one of those pennies? The economist said. And all right, God said, I will. Wait here a minute. God is outside of time. And isn't that good to know? That God was around before you were born, and God will be around long after you are laid to rest in the ground? Because there is a promise here. And that promise is that even though our days pass away, even though our years come to an end, that we will fly away, that there is this promise of eternal life. There is the resurrection promise that God has given to us. You see, we put our hope and our trust for life, not in the things of this world, not in the things of ourselves, not even in trying to figure out when we're going to die by www.deathclock.com, but knowing that our lives and our times are in the hands of God, and that God has an eternity planned for us, despite our failures, despite our iniquities, despite our sins. And it's something that we have not because of anything that we have done, but because of what he has done for us in Christ. That in Christ going to the cross, that Christ suffering for us, Christ dying for us, Christ rising for us, we have God's promise that he is with us now, and that we will be his each and every day of our life, and he will be there right by our side on the day of our death, and that he will be there to call us up out of the grave and give us eternal life. We have that promise. We have that hope that whether we live 10 years, 50 years, or 100 years, that God is always with us, and God has an eternity planned for us because of his grace, because of his mercy, because of his love. God grant that in your life you put your trust, your hope, your confidence in this God who has been our God, who has been our help in ages past, who is your help today, and who will be your help for all eternity. In his name, amen.